All right, ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. The voices inside my head believe what you said. You love your control. I find my way home. I'm home. Some I offer self-respect, 'cause I'm building up, I forgot. I'm lonely and you're not able to give it all to me. You love your control. I find my own, oh, my own. Some I offer self-respect, 'cause I'm building it up, I forgot. Okay, that was called The Voices, and the next song I'm going to play is called Poem, and it's about appreciating people who support you through bad times and supporting people through bad times. So yeah, it's just a song I wrote about a friend. So here we go.
I read your poem just the other day. The words came flowing in the most peculiar way. So many years of tears, oh, insecurity and fear. You know that I've tried my best to move on. Yeah, there's no going past the people you love. Some people are worth all those tears.
Welcome, Melody.
Oh, thanks, Pauline.
I'm so excited.
I was so pumped. Like, it's like I sent you a link to the music and it's like, there's no way Pauline's going to like this.
No.
The depression talking.
Oh, I really relate to that. I would like to start by talking about your background, because I saw on your Facebook page about your heritage. So I was just wondering if you could just say your background, your cultural background.
My name is Melody Shotaid. My cultural background, well, my father is Nigerian. He was born in Lagos State. And my mother is Australian. She's from German-Irish heritage. So I'm a bit of a mixture, a bit of a cultural melting pot. My whole family are. You know, there's different nationalities within my extended family. But, I've just asked my dad to teach me a little bit about his language, which is something new that I never really kind of went into that part of me, you know. I've grown up with my mum and her family, you know, so it's been lovely, but I think, you know, you kind of get to a point where you're like, well, what about dad and, you know, his side of things, and what's it like on the other side of the fence, you know? Good to get perspective of both sides of the fence, I think. So yeah, and he's an awesome character. Like, he is a great storyteller, so he can spin off any story, I reckon, like, just without even thinking about it. Yeah, he's very charismatic, my dad.
Well, we'll get to the storytelling part of your journey too later. I wanted to know also about how you identify in terms of disability.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. I have a mental illness. I have a few mental illnesses, actually. I think it's termed these days lived experience of mental illness. And, I guess it all sort of started with depression. And so, you know, I kind of had depressive illness through my teens. Suicide and all that sort of stuff was a big reality up until my early adulthood, early adulthood, I'd say. And then I also got diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder. So that's been a thing. And then recently, I think it's been kind of re-evaluated, and it's sort of bordering on just bipolar. So it's sort of changed and morphed, you know, along my life. And I think it's made a big difference in the way my outlook on life. I'm a lot more patient with myself now and with other people. I kind of can stop to smell the roses, so to speak, and give myself permission to do that, because that's kind of how I kind of cope and manage the illness, I guess. It's just to kind of vague out sometimes and go, okay, this is actually beautiful, and I'm allowed to appreciate this and accept that it's, you know, something special. You know, there's something special about everything. And yeah, I never used to do that because, you know, I felt the pressure of society, you know, saying, you know, things have to be a certain way, you know, don't be a dreamer, you know, that kind of stuff, and, you know, get a real job, and, you know, do all this sort of stuff. And it was causing a lot of stress to the point where I was actually being hospitalised quite regularly. And so, yeah, since taking that pressure off and being able to say, well, I've got to cut back on my workload, or, you know, I can be creative and try and do creative projects and things like that, it's managed to sort of change things around a lot.
Well, you sort of mentioned that allowing yourself to pursue these creative pursuits really helped a lot in your healing, I guess, and being comfortable and getting rid of a lot of anxiety and pressure that you felt that we feel in this society.
It started when I was very young. Like, I used to have, you know, I used to be very imaginative. I made up games and, you know, potions and all that sort of stuff. And the teachers at school saw it in me. And they saw when I used to, you know, get picked on and stuff like that for being a person of colour. They saw that, you know, I kind of went out and did creative things to kind of probably counterbalance that as a coping mechanism. And so I've always kind of done that, you know, as a way to kind of balance things out. And I guess it wasn't till I had my final kind of breakdown that I took some time off and asked my friends whether they'd think anything different of me if I wasn't working at all, or, you know, and they just said, no, we appreciate you for who you are. So I had a bit of a break, and then a friend of mine's flatmate, Marietka, she was working, she's had a kind of an initiative called Raw House. And she sort of took me under her wing and taught me a few things about, you know, community arts and development. So I was very fortunate to be on a few projects with her, and then decided, you know, after a while, you know, that I'd try and do my own sort of independent stuff. So I've just started emerging and doing my own stuff, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. And that, some of that stuff includes theatre making. And I just wanted to know if you could talk a little bit about what inclusive arts practice is to you.
But inclusive arts to me means that it's not about you, I guess. At the end of the day, it's about everyone being inclusive to everybody and trying to understand and collaborate with people of all walks of life. You know, that understanding, you know, and the time spent with other people, you know, that quality time spent with people trying to make something and that will, you know, other people understand as well, hopefully. Yeah.
Can you tell us about Woven?
yeah. Woven was a really lovely... had a really lovely outcome and journey. It was a journey. And it basically started off with, it kicked off with some crowdfunding and a lot of community support. I was fortunate to receive funding from the City of Port Phillip through their Cultural Development Fund. And it sort of kicked off with 6 sessions. Working with people of all abilities and, you know, backgrounds and stuff. And, yeah, I was, you know, I just looked back on some of the videos that I had taken the other day. And I've still got a long way to go in terms of directing and producing material. But I had a really lovely group, a lot of sort of senior performers and stuff that were... in conditions of like 40 degrees in an unair-conditioned church with just fans going and hand fans and things, just so dedicated. I just, you know, it was brilliant. And we did a lot of sort of movement-based performance, and it's held at Gas Works out in the Glade, this beautiful area which has got sort of circular seating. And I worked with an artist called Lisa Greenaway, who does fantastic sound production, and we'd set up 3D sound installation, which was built with, built up. We worked together on this sound installation, which was sort of a, like a woven type. I think this is kind of, you know, part of the woven sort of theme, which had a story, your narration by someone called Ali, and it had music, some world music. So it had the chora and also some like global vocals and stuff through it. And, you know, it was really beautiful, just lovely on a hot day, just to have this sound wafting in and out. And we had like... Auslan interpretations which were incorporated into the performance, and also audio description, which was also incorporated into the performance. So they were aesthetics. And so the audience were part of the performance, so they were sitting as the performance was happening around them rather than sitting in a formal seating sort of situation. And, yeah, it's by the end of it, everyone was sort of in a circle holding hands, and you just can't plan stuff like that. You know, it's sort of an experience that you had to kind of be there. So that's woven. You know, I got mentored and I had, you know, artist support. Nilgun Govan was my mentor for the theatre and the directing, and then I had Trudy Radburn, who was helping with the choreography. So, yeah, it was fantastic.
How did the performers find you, the group of people that you just described?
Well, I'd been part of Rag Theatre and a few other, like, local theatre groups in the city of Port Phillip, and also through Raw House as well. So I kind of already knew the performers, and they had time and they'd wanted to be a part of it. So we all kind of put out a call out for, you know, through different organisations, and these are the people who sort of responded and said, you know, we'll be free at this time. And that's how we kind of, you know, went about it.
So we're changing gears. Why don't you play us another song?
Sure. This next song is called Cow Between Legs.
Best night of my life.
When did you start writing music?
Oh, when I was probably about 5. Yeah. Used to make up little songs in the bedroom, you know, like with my brother. And then at school, like I just came up with like a group of a cappella and stuff. So, yeah, just for fun. Yeah.
You said that you wrote that song at 13. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a very personal story, but I'm willing to share it. It's written about, you know, a first love, and, you know, at the time I don't think either of us were all that happy and well and stuff. Sort of the beginning of the depression and stuff, you know. And, you know, I thought that this person was like a big brother type situation where, you know, they look after me and stuff, but really they were kind of the opposite, I think, you know, a little bit destructive. And I guess I wrote the song to kind of like take me away from the negative side of things and romanticise, I think, a bit about it, you know. It's sort of like a double-edged sword, I guess.
I'm really interested in finding out what your influences are in terms of your music.
I have a very, very broad taste in music, like, and I was brought up with soul and R&B and all that sort of stuff, and then also punk on top of that. So, you know, it sort of got a bit of everything in there. And then I got into sort of a folky scene in 2010 and sort of got a bit of influence through there as well.
And in 2013 you released an EP?
Yeah, I worked with a great few people. The guy who produced the EP and stuff, his name was Brendan Mueller. He was very good to work with, like he was very patient and had a process, and he was able to come to me at one stage as well because the studio was too expensive to sort of hire out and stuff. So he was able to, you know, set up a cubby to keep all the sound in and stuff. And yeah, it's good. And then worked with a few friends from the open mic scene and another artist with a disability as well. Tanner Ramsey played lead guitar, I think, on the EP. Actually, I think a few of the people on the EP actually have a disability. So, yeah, it's really good to kind of collaborate for the first time with a band rather than doing my solo stuff all the time. So, yeah, it's nice.
Where was it launched?
The Thornbury Theatre, yeah. That was pretty sweet. The Velour Lounge, I think it's downstairs. But it was really good. We're trying to raise money for a roller derby AU, but it's a whole nother story. I'd like to sort of maybe just make a little statement. You know, we're living in some pretty troublesome times. You know, I just don't think sometimes, you know, the stress is all that worth it. And that's all I've got to say on that matter. And I think, you know, if you can find something that you enjoy, go and do it. Don't waste time. Make yourself happy. If you want to get in contact with me, I'm on, like, social media. And I hope to do another theatre project next year with people identified as disabled. Get in contact if you think you'd be interested in something like that. I can be found on Facebook and Instagram as well, so do get in touch.
Beautiful. And now we're going to finish with His Body. Thank you, Melody.
No worries. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm sitting here. sometimes since I've been praying on my knees, boy, begging, darling, please, boy, tell my soul. I'm sitting on the hub, my Jesus, and it's been some time since I felt his heartbeat next to mine.
Sweet. Thank you.